God, we thank you so much as we continue in your word that you are changing our lives, God. God, I think about how the Jewish people had to offer sacrifices. God, I want to offer a sacrifice right now. God, maybe my brothers and sisters will do the same. God, I take my life and I put it on the altar of sacrifice now, pouring myself out like a drink offering. And whatever you want to do with your word in my heart, do it. God, I pour my marriage out on the altar. God, and whatever you want to do with my marriage, do it. God, I pour my children out on the altar of sacrifice right now. They're yours, God. Whatever you want to do in their lives, God, I relinquish any control I've had over them to you. I pour my finances on that same altar, God. And should I be rich or poor, God, I leave that in your hands. Whatever will get the best out of me, God, the best. I want to be generous without being frivolous, and I want to be giving without being stingy. With all these things, God, may your word have complete reign in our lives today, God, because we know that you are good. We believe you're good. This we pray in the name of Christ, King of Kings. Amen. Amen. I am going to tell you something. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a warning. Next week's service is going to be crazy. Why do I say that? Because remember that the book of 1 Timothy was written to the leaders of the church. And the leaders of the church were expected to behave in a certain manner. And next week we're going to address what the Apostle Paul suggested the way women should behave. And I can't wait to preach that message. Now, toward the end of next week's message, it'll also be like the way men are supposed to behave, but I got that down. I'm saying that teasing because I always want you to remember that. For every kick, there's a kick back. For every right hand, there's a left. And next week, if you read ahead and you see what I'm going to preach, read the whole chapter. It's going to be plenty beaten up for everybody next week. Don't get all in your feelings, ladies. But in the meanwhile, he addresses something extremely interesting that I think Paul doesn't dwell enough about in relation to next week's message. Verse 18, chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Before we read verse 19, let me tell you what this message becomes, because it's the book of 1 Timothy. Because so many people find the book of 1 Timothy out of their range, out of their eyesight, out of their field of view, out of their ability to grasp and grip and apply, it's for this very reason. This message is for people who do crazy things, who find themselves abandoning all of their social things for church stuff. Last night, at my son-in-law and daughter's home, my two daughters and Denise and Woody's daughter were there. And they received a message put together by some 20-somethings and some teenagers. And I thought to myself, if I was your guys' age, I'd have way something better to do on a Saturday night. And here's the message I've preached so many times. Guys, what are you doing when it comes to this message that is being preached? Is this your home church? Because if it's not, hey, by all means, you're more than welcome here. It's not your home church. Find a home church. There used to be this thing in the late 90s. There was this thing they called community church they were doing. On Saturday night, they go to Calvary Fort Lauderdale. On Sunday mornings, they'd go to church by the Glades. On Wednesday, they would go to, what was the name of that church? And they had a prayer meeting. And I always thought to myself, I realize that for some people that works, but what are you doing for the other people around you? Is that what church is supposed to be about? You. Well, the reason I don't come to church is... The reason you don't come to church is you're a spoiled brat. And somebody told you that church was about you. What about the people here that need you to be here to minister to them? Oh, that's kind of a heavy trip to lay on me. Well, what else is there but a heavy trip? We're talking about people's lives are at stake here. Here, the Apostle Paul is saying, Timothy, my son, I command you. I give you this charge. I command you according to the prophecies made about you and to you. And now we pause and we go, wait a second. There was prophecies made over this. Well, there's never been a prophecy made over me. Nobody's ever come to me and said, I have a word from the Lord for you. Here. Did this guy never prayed for me and said, oh, God told me to tell you something. Well, I'm going to ask you why not. Well, I'll answer the question for you. Because you're not involved with anybody. I don't know who you are. You're not serving in any ministries here. You're on the outskirts. No, nobody's prophesying over you because you're not involved. The Bible says, in order to have friends, one must be friendly. You got to at some point in time say, instead of saying, oh, the reason I don't go to that church is because nobody said hello to me. How about this? You go there and say hello. You're being mean, Ryan. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help people get out of this bondage. Believe me, I'm talking about me. That was my first 5 years of church. I'd come in wearing a wife beater t-shirt. I got tattoos all over my arms. I put a mean mug on, and I didn't want nobody come near me. I ain't here for all that. I'm here to do my thing. I like the music at this big church. What I liked about it, don't say nothing. Don't say hello to me. Look, you ain't my boy. And it's amazing I survived those years. Arrogant, self-righteous, selfish. All about me. What I can get when I come to church. And what's saddest is some of you guys have had words prophesied over you. You've been a part of prayer meetings and afterglow services, and you've been prophesied over. And you did not believe the things that God said, and you found out the hard way. And what happened? Let's see what happens. Verse 19, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, having suffered shipwreck. Please, let me explain this to you. I had to read this about 150 times to wrap this head around. Some of you guys are looking for faith and a good conscience. And here, the insinuation, the wording is kind of weird. You're like, I don't even know what that means. Look, it's good to have faith and it's good to have a good conscience. But rarely are you going to have both. It just doesn't work that easily. You understand this? Sometimes you do it because you're told to do it. The Bible says, do this. Nah, I don't feel like it. You don't have to feel like it. You don't walk this thing by faith. I'm sorry, by feeling. You walk it by faith. Yeah, but it doesn't feel good if I don't have what I want, when I want it, how I want it. Yeah, and that's kind of what separates the men from the boys, so to speak. That's kind of what puts the mustard on the sandwich when it comes to Christianity. In my devotions this morning, some of you guys that get my verse this morning, it said that, basically it says that the righteous loves the poor, the needy, the downtrodden, the broken, But the unrighteous doesn't understand such wisdom. It's like they don't see any. What? You think I'm going to give a dollar to a bum on the street? Yeah, here's a buck. Go get another bottle of wine. You know what I mean? They don't understand that. Look. When we get to heaven, the Bible says that the Lord is going to say, excuse me, when you saw me needy, you didn't do nothing. When you saw me naked, you didn't give me clothes. When you saw me hungry, thirsty, you did nothing. And now you want to say, hey, I'm here because I went to church every week? You understand? Here, the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy that there are people who don't believe from one to the other that faith has a reckoning. Let me reiterate that. Faith has a reckoning. If you say you believe in God, immediately that's like a seed that gets planted. If you've never planted any plants or anything, when you plant the seed, it's not one root that just goes down. It goes down and poof. And that's what happens with faith. And if you have faith, each one of those little roots, each one of those little arms, each one of those little tubers stands for something. Number one, it stands for is your belief in heaven. Number one, if you say, I believe in the Lord Jesus, you're saying, I believe in heaven. And the byproduct of believing in heaven is like, kind of stop worrying about death now. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you might get the COVID and die. You might. I know where I'm going. Like, stop worrying about your family and your friends. Stop worrying like the world worries anyway. Look, of course you're going to miss somebody if they die. Of course there's this hurt. But if you really have faith that heaven is real, it's like, I see you again, like soon and very soon. Salute. You follow me? One of the things in faith is the belief of heaven. Another thing in faith is the belief in the Word of God. And you start to read the Word of God, you start to get the promises of God, and you start to get what's called the wheel and the woes. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. If you do this, this is going to happen. Here's the pros and here's the cons. If you have faith, you kind of start believing that the Word of God is the Word of God and what it says it's going to do. Relax. You're going to have the byproduct of peace upon you if your faith is real. And here, I can go through this whole list that's in my head right now, and I'm not gonna, of all the things that faith should do. Because faith must needs be exercised. I mean, you take a plant and you germinate it, that first root goes down. Let's hope that's the root of heaven. Let's hope maybe the first offshoot is the root of the Bible. Let's hope that each one, and it takes time, you know. Plants don't just grow up overnight. I mean, I planted avocado. I love avocados. A little salt, a little olive oil, and just scoop that thing right out of there. So I was like, I'm going to plant an avocado tree. So I put that pit down. I was like, oh, you can't just do that. What do you mean you can't just do that? Yeah, you got to put toothpicks in it and hang it in water. And then when the thing goes down, and there's a... All right, so I did that. That took like weeks. Finally, the root starts going down. I was like, all right, come on, let's go. Breathe on it, you know what I mean? Like 2 months ago, I take the thing now and I put it in a plant. Boom, I put it in a nice thing. I put it in the sun. Now all of a sudden these green leaves start growing. It's like, there you go. I'm gonna have avocados any day now. No, it takes like 5 years. It's like, well, this sucks. I should just take $4 and go to the Publix. So I got the thing like a year and it's growing. It's probably 3 foot tall. It's like, I'm loving this. And then it dies. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the relationship we have. All that I've done for you up till now. And this is what happens. Guys, read the parable of the sower and ask yourself which seed you were planted in. Did you get snatched right up by a bird of prey? Did you get planted on a rocky soil? I mean, listen, God never said there ain't going to be fight. There's going to be a fight. You're going to have marriage problems. You're going to have kid problems. You're going to have health problems. You're going to have money problems. Ain't nobody promised you anything. You're not going to go through anything that the world ain't going through. This ain't like a rescue from the world. As a matter of fact, it's probably worse because now you have a magnifying glass upon you. Watch what he says now. Again, let me read the whole thing from 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, having suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Hymenaeus and Alexander. You look up their names, and these two men only exist in about four places in the Bible, and every time it's not good. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, beware. And if you're, if you bend toward the legalistic, you might say, you know what? I think that might borderline on gossip. Until you realize there's no gossip at all. Listen to me. They did something in the early church that they don't do now. And I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to tell you why. What they did in the early church is, if you screwed up, out you go. You know what? You came here to find a woman, not to find God. Go on, pack your bags, get. You know what? You came here for the free handout. Enough of that, get. Now, they did that often. And unless there was true repentance, they weren't let back in the church. Now, why don't they do that now? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because we live in a day of corporate church. And the saying of our old church for a number of years in its worst point in time was, until the whole world hears. But that wasn't the truth. The truth was, the saying was, until the whole world's here. Because 20,000 wasn't enough. We turned the corner on 30,000, and we had to make this. How do we keep these folks here? How do we get them give? I know what we'll do. Let's put their names on the walls, huh? Huh? Here he says about Hymenaeus and Alexander, I delivered them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. And you know what he basically did? You know where Satan is? Outside doors. I tossed them out to church until they learn not to blaspheme. You can't live one thing. You can't preach one thing and live another. That ain't happening in this here place. You come here looking for something, we're going to look into your nose. Man, what's this guy got in his nose? What you want? What you doing here? Somebody please turn it off. It's your alarm. Poor guy. Sorry. You follow me? He says here something interesting. I wonder what it was that Hymenaeus and Alexander did. Now, I heard a commentary. It was a guy who has since fallen away from the Lord. But he said that, what was that dude's name from Chicago again? He had like 20 churches over there. Donald, James McDonald. He says about Hymenaeus and Alexander, he said it wasn't that they did so much wrong, it's they just weren't down with the program of making church their life. They were part-time. It's like, look, you know what? If you ain't gonna plant your life here, if you're not gonna let your roots go deep, you know, you gotta go somewhere else. You can't come here thinking, hey, it's cool, let me get a free donut and say hello to everyone and then go. Maybe there's a nice looking single girl here today. We ain't having that. We ain't having it, he said. It's not like he didn't want to pay the ultimate sacrifice, because we know this, that Paul was getting ready to pay the ultimate sacrifice. He was getting ready to have his head chopped off. There's this story, Russia in the days of communism, There's a story about this small church getting together every week. It's what was the name of that book we used to read, Elaine? I always forget the name of it. Yes, Jesus Freaks. It's a devotion called Jesus Freaks. I highly recommend reading it, especially with your kids or your spouse. It's all these little testimonies, these 2- and 3-page testimonies of people in the church. It's church history. It's called Jesus Freaks. And there's a story about in the communist days of Russia, this church that was meeting, and these two guys break in with AKs. And they're like, okay, guys, you're meeting as a church. You know what they say about people who meet in church. That's my Russian accent. You like it? Not bad, huh? I trained with Russians lots. Now, if you claim to be Christian, I give you one chance. You leave now, you leave. You stay here, you die. He says, you know, half the people got up and left. He said, when they left, the people that remained, that would not deny Christ, says they put the gun down, and they said, okay, now we worship together. Now that they are gone. You read a lot of stories like that in that book, Jesus Freaks. And these last days, listen, go back 25 years. You got saved, you didn't get saved. It's a time of plenty. It was a good time. You know, it's like whatever, whatever. It ain't like that now, guys. Stuff's going down, and it's going down hard. The next 10 years, they're going to be crazy. They're going to be crazy. Continuing to the finish. Therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We will not be studying 9. We will do that next week. Let me explain this to you. The way you start a church, he says, Timothy, I've left you there to start this church. Here's how you start your church. And I want you to know the first time as a young church, when we were getting together, this church that you're in right now was started in 2005 or 6. Maybe was it 5 or 6? I think it was 5. It was on a Wednesday night in mine and my wife's home. And then some months later, we started meeting at the hotel. Where am I? Up, it used to be the Hilton. Now I think it's the DoubleTree Suites. And we rent out those rooms. And I didn't know what I was doing or how I was doing. And I just said, you know what? Let's just start a Bible study and let's see, you know, what pops up. And some people started showing up. And then when I was reading this as a letter to a pastor, I said, you know what? I think we're doing something wrong. So a lot of people ask me, how did you guys start that prayer in the middle between the worship and the word? Well, this is how. I read this and I said, I think I'm doing something wrong here. Now, I didn't say, notice, I didn't say I think Calvary Chapel's doing something wrong. I didn't say Fort Lauderdale. I said, I'm doing something wrong. I think we've been called as the house of prayer. That is the name of the church, Calvary Chapel of Deerfield Beach, the house of prayer. We need to be praying more. So I started telling people, hey, you know what? If anybody has any prayer requests, pray. Oh, yeah, pray for this, pray for this. So that became what we do. Because I read this and I wanted to apply it immediately, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, that man, that thing that says men there is not just men, that's men and women. That's the all-encompassing, multi-gendered man there. Any that were formed from the dust of the earth. So, if you're going to supplicate, or that supplications be made, what is supplications? Joining in the needs of other men, praying for them. Some people, even though aren't in a time of plenty right now, some people are really hurting. I mean, could you imagine owning a restaurant or being a waiter or waitress or a bartender in these days? Oh, but don't worry. The government will send you $600 next month. That'll fix everything. My heart completely breaks for you guys if you're in the restaurant business or, ugh. Join with them in the things that are supply. Did you have a question, Johnny? Yeah, let me explain to you what John is alluding to. For you guys that are not new to Scripture, for you guys that have a little bit, there are churches who do not believe that everybody is on the list of heaven. And they do what's called an ipso facto. Here's the ipso facto. If some people die and go to hell, and God knows the end from the beginning, then ipso facto, some people are destined for hell. This kind of blows it out of the water. And you could read the commentary of anybody. This is what they call Calvinism or hyper-Calvinism. Now, as soon as you say that word, Calvinism or hyper-Calvinism, all the Calvinists come out of order and go, you don't understand Calvinism. I know, I don't. I know. So just ignore me from here. If you're a Calvinist and you believe that, then just ignore me from here. Just keep believing what you believe. It doesn't change anything about what I'm going to believe. The poster boy for Calvinism, the poster boy, was from Chicago. He was D.L. Moody, who was a Calvinist. But here's what he believed. He believed and prayed often, God, save the elect and elect some more. That was a D.L. Moody prayer. God, save the elect and elect some more. So I'm glad you brought that up, maybe for the sake of some people here. I don't believe in election. I don't believe in predestination because it presupposes that I could think like God. Here's what I believe. That God wants everybody to be saved. There you go. So if God's going to do what God's going to do, why should I even share my faith with anybody? If God's elected who he's elected and the only people that are going to come to know him, the people that he elects, then why waste my time in telling anybody about the Lord? Because in the end, his plan's going to come to pass. And I thank God right now that that didn't happen to me. That somebody looked at me and said, that lost, foul, violent criminal needs a Lord Jesus, and I'm going to share it with him. I thank God that somebody did that. I thank God for Bob Cunningham. I thank God for Owen Ridgely, who didn't look at me as a lost case, a lost cause, who didn't believe in, who believed that, you know who was predestined? Everybody that crossed their path. You follow? But they've made hyper-Calvinism their excuse of doing things. Some people, hey, I can drink, I can smoke, I can party. Why? Because I'm on the list and I know it. Nothing's going to change that. Ah, I see. So no matter what you do, you're going to heaven. That's right. I know it because I'm on the list. I'm predetermined, predestined. I'm foreknowledged, they call it. You guys understand that? Okay, now just erase that whole thing I just said and throw it out, and let's get back to it. Thanks for bringing that up, Johnny. We do need to address that at times. And I keep forgetting in my desire not to get involved in the isms of Christianity that we should deal with that. So, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks. So when we come up here, and you can... We're going to finish here. When I come up here and I pray, and so you hand me your prayer request, what prayer request should you hand me? Well, if it's for somebody who needs something, that's a supplication. If it's somebody who wants you to join in with them for others, that's also part of it. If it's an intercession, if it's a prayer of salvation, my cousin has a friend named Jimmy who doesn't know the Lord. Would you pray with us? Like, your cousin has a friend? Why don't he pray for it himself? No. We'll pray. Don't worry about it. We'll pray. Don't ever. Hey, you know, I got a hangnail this morning. My toe really hurts. I'll pray that too. I don't care. Yeah, you saw that also? Does that mean I'm doing something right or wrong? Now it went darker, so it was wrong. And then it says to be give thanks. And that's why sometimes we just give thanks. Sometimes just, hey, you know what? Let's give thanks to God for the healing. Papa's here, and it's great to have you, Papa. Glad you're here. Love you. Ooh, you fighter, you. You know, let's give thanks that Matthias is here. Matthias, it's great to have you, man. Sometimes it's just that silly, guys. Sometimes it's just that wonderful. Sometimes it's just that community. Communion. Is communion today? Yeah. Oh, well, we'll hand it out, man. What are you waiting for? So today is the last weekend of the month. We're going to do a quick communion, which is perfect because it's going to prepare you for next week, which you're going to hate me about. And I don't care. Yes, I do. No, I don't. So, communion. Think about the things that I said. Think about the way faith grows down. And as the communion elements are handed out, I want you to don't partake by yourself. We will partake as a group together. Oh, these things again, huh? When are we going to do away with these? This is like a Chinese puzzle. Every week, every month, I have to figure out how to open this up. COVID's done, right? Nobody worries about COVID anymore. Let's get rid of these things. The what? Oh, sorry. Hey, I got mine. Is it a little Bible verse on top of it, too? Okay, so communion is a sacrament of the church. And now, although I've made light of it and I'm making jokes now, please come back to me for a second. Let's keep this moment holy, because as a sacrament, this is something that we want to keep holy. It's something that we always want to say, you know what? If the early church did this, let's do it, and let's do it together. Let's do it as a group. They broke bread, and it was the last day that the Lord... I got one. Thank you, brother. And the Lord said, hey, on the night he was crucified, he took the bread and broke it, and he handed it to his disciples, and he said, hey, I want you to take and eat this. This is my body. It's broken for you. And now, from the perspective of the physical of it, it's kind of crazy. And this also happened when he was talking, not to his apostles, not to his disciples, but to the world. He actually said to them the same thing that those Russian guys came in and said. He said to them, hey guys, here's what I want you to do. I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they went, what are you talking about? Yeah, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you got no part of me. And they said, the guy's off his chump. He's crazy. And they left. And the Bible says something crazy. It says they followed him no more. And then he looked at his apostles, looked at his disciples, and he said, do you also want to leave? And does anybody remember what they said? Where else are we going to go? You got the words of life. And if you have faith to believe, first in heaven, second in the Bible, you know it should be a close third? That God is good. Listen to what I say now. This is paramount. Faith tells you that whatever is happening, Romans 8:28, is happening for good. At some point in time, you got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. At some point in time, you have to stop worrying that, oh, this is going to happen, it's going to be hard. At some point in time, you've got to let the anxiety subside from you and go, you know what? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to, at some point in time, believe that God's plan is in this thing. I'm looking at my brother Mike, and I think about you, Mike. Think about all the crap you've been through in the last 10 years since we met. Oh, my goodness. Man, how did you not fall apart? How did you just not throw the towel in? How did you not do it? Because you got to just keep moving forward. You might have 10 steps in a pile, but one step is going to be in freedom, and that's all it takes. And you got to know that your last step is always going to be in freedom. That's part of the faith thing. That's part of the faith thing. Do you believe that God is good? Because if you believe that God is good, he said to these people of the world, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, that's not going to happen. He said to his apostles, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And you know what they said? I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm sure you're going to explain it because that's weird. And at no point in time did he start cutting pieces of his skin and give it to them. At no point in time. He was talking spiritual. And that's what he said. He said, before those Pharisees left, he says, I'm talking spiritual things, and you're not getting it. What would happen if you saw the Son of Man rise from where he is? Would you believe that? Or would you say, oh, it's the aliens from Mars. Oh, it's the fallen angels. Listen. Before you eat my flesh and drink my blood, know this. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that yet? Then tell God you believe it by accounting this, the picture of his body, the picture of his life. This, the Bible says, is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. As the Jews had the showbread in the temple and said, this is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. You want it? Take it. And then he said to them, this is the cup of the new covenant. You know what the new covenant is? Faith. Which some having shipwrecked themselves, not realizing and not believing that faith is the key that unlocks every door. That no longer is it your deeds, no longer is it your... There's no scale in heaven. No good deeds are put on one side, bad deeds on the other. You were nice to somebody, but you weren't nice to your wife. You were nice to somebody, you weren't nice to your husband. None like that. Faith, to believe that Christ died for your sins, and to believe that the Father raised him when he was in the grave. If you believe that, you're going to go to heaven. And you're going to start to believe the Bible. And you start to not worry about life and death. If you believe that. Now, what you do is you're going to say, you know what, God? Enough with this good deed, bad deed thing. Because here's what we do. And this is, guys, stick with me just for another minute. We see somebody get sick. We see somebody go broke. We see somebody die. Here's what we do. We file it in their head. Well, they must have done something wrong. I bet they deserved it. Oh, did you hear what he did? Oh, that's why it happened. You got to wipe that away. That is what they call the doctrine or the gospel of, what is that? When all good things, huh? It's like karma. It's the name it and claim it church is the prosperity gospel. It's called the prosperity gospel. If you have faith, you won't get sick. If you have faith, listen to me, that's not how that works. It rains on the just and the unjust. Do you know the Bible goes out of its way to say that people believe that God was smitten, that the Lord Jesus Christ was smitten because God was mad at him? He must have been cursed because look what happened. We have to learn with the New Testament, the New Covenant, to wipe all that prosperity gospel away. To completely surrender ourselves to God and say, God, you know what? Good, bad, ugly, happy, sad, I'm yours. I'm going to be in church on Sunday serving, looking for somebody to love. I'm going to read your word and believe what I read. I'm going to fight this good fight, the good fight of faith. And if I live, I live. And if I die, I die. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Not, what did you do? What did he do? Because God only, God punishes people. Well, that's not how it works, but that's another study. So if you are ready to put away the prosperity gospel and to surrender completely to God, your will and your life, believing the promises, fulfilling all of the purpose that God has planned for your life, raise your cup to the Lord and salute. I hope that sacrifice, that last 5 minutes, was pleasing to the Lord, as I'm sure you do. Let's pray together, and after we finish praying, I'm supposed to see all you all, well, not all you all, but a lot of you all at 6 o'clock at the beach tonight. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your communion, God, the body and blood. God, we freely take it, God, because we know that you're good all the time. We love you, Lord Jesus. Have your hand upon us. And God, I pray for anybody that's here that came here because they're going through something that just needed a good word, that today you'd be the lifter of their heart, that they would have heard exactly what you wanted them to. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of your goodness. Fall upon us, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.